The last two qualities of this inner perfection of our own true nature as we let go and open, the ninth of them is loving kindness and compassion, the inherent connection that we share with all living, breathing beings. And it comes immediately to us when we release the body of fear, the sense of separateness. Love, which is our oneness for others, a wish for happiness and joy for everything that lives. And compassion, the quivering of the heart at the suffering of other beings. As it says in Corinthians, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a clanging gong. And if I have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I am all faith to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. More than a practice or an aspiration or something we do, it is a quality of presence, a nourishment that we bring to this being, our own selves, and to those we meet. And true love has a strength and an honesty and a depth to it in any circumstance, to hold one another in the heart of compassion. There's a story in Ram Dass's wonderful book, How Can I Help?, about a woman who, as a young Mary Knoll nun, went to the high mountains of Peru, became a teacher and a school principal. And then the illness happened quite suddenly. The doctor said it was rheumatoid arthritis. They said it was ultimately crippling, and there was really nothing they could do about it. I wasn't sure I was being so helpful anyway as a teacher, and finally I returned and had surgery at the Mayo Clinic. And I did a great deal of praying in the chapel. There was a statue of Christ there with outstretched hands. I think it was chosen to inspire the hands of the surgeons and nurses. And I began to have my own hands operated on. I remember thinking that even though my hands were going to be broken and crooked, they might still be sacred to me, and I could use them to bring something to someone. So I sought to re-enter the world of the sick and live with the mystery of human suffering. I returned to Peru, but now at a lower altitude. Almost everything had changed, especially my attitude toward the people I was working with. Now I could feel their terrible poverty and pain in a new way. In fact, it seemed as if I was seeing it for the first time. How often I'd rushed around trying to solve people's problems without just seeing them. The pain in their faces, the insecure eyes, the nervous hands, all the expressions of the hurt inside. It was only when they touched me I began to feel a connection. And so my ministry changed. It became the ministry of walking together. Some of us with physical disabilities joined together to share our experiences and support others when we could. We would simply walk about as best we could. And the affirmation I got from them was so important. You're the same person as before, and even if you can't teach, we'd like you to stay. Many of the Peruvians we ran into with handicaps were deeply ashamed and hidden. We would come to see them and they would hide in their own homes. I think of Juan, a polio victim at 3 who'd been hidden by his family in their small mud brick house until we discovered him at age 8. His brother Julio took us there one day, and there was Juan, twisted legs underneath him, scooting around the dirt patio on a circular piece of rubber. His mother was suspicious and didn't want us to stay, for a handicapped child meant she was being punished for something. She was ashamed. We returned several times, And one time we found Juan all alone. His family with the rest of the town had gone on a religious procession. Of course, he'd never seen one, so we borrowed a bicycle and put Juan on it and joined in the procession itself. It was his first time outside the house, the first time he looked at people from a level higher than the ground, his first procession. His parents were momentarily afraid, but their attitude changed. And then in the next town meeting, we asked if we could raise money to send Juan to Lima for rehabilitation. And they liked the idea, and Juan went off to the big city. He had a hard struggle with much pain and effort, but one day he returned to his village. He was using braces and a cane. It was very hard for him. But as he began to walk down the streets to his home, people came out of their own homes. They appeared from all over. They were cheering and clapping and followed him all the way home. It was so wonderful. It was Juan's second procession. And so I see that even our suffering is not for ourselves. It too can have an impact in the world. That's how much of our lives can mean how much is possible. And I've been with people who would just weep over this message, and I have cried too. So this is the perfection of compassion. It's not that you make yourself something different than you are, but that you hold yourself and every being that you meet in this heart of mercy, of respect, of presence.